Friends, grace and peace to you in the name of Jesus the Christ. Amen. So during the summers when I was growing up, the neighborhood friends and I had this great place to grow up in. We had woods to get lost in and creeks to jump across and sometimes into. And there in northeast Texas, the red dirt hills with berry brambles to get stuck in. And during the summer months, we would go out and play all day long. And I can still remember countless times when I would come home so dirty that my mom would not even let me anywhere near anything in the house except to make a beeline straight for the bathtub. So, you know how that goes. I'd fill up the bathtub, and it wouldn't take long before the clean water of the bath was about as red as that rich northeast Texas clay where I grew up, or as black as the mud on the creek bottoms. Sometimes I'd have to drain the water mid-bath just to get that nasty, dirty water out so it wouldn't stick back to me. And then after bath time was all over and the water was drained out for a final time, the tub was sometimes so dirty that you had to spend several minutes scrubbing the ring off of the tub around it. In baptism, we speak about being baptized into Christ. If an infant or a child is being baptized, often it happens that they're dressed in white. It's not a requirement for baptism. And sometimes I talk about this. I ask families before baptism if they are planning on doing that and if they know what the significance of that means. We baptize often when they're dressed in white, it symbolizes baptism as this cleansing, holy moment. And in fact, the white robe that I'm wearing now and that Pastor Sonia is wearing is also to remind us and each of you of our baptism. That no matter what I'm wearing under this robe, whether it's a $1,000 suit, which I guarantee you it's not, or threadbare rags, a little bit closer to the truth, no matter what I have on underneath my robe that might distinguish me as different, this robe reminds me and each of you that I belong to Christ, and that you belong to Christ, that we are clothed in Christ. Now, if you've been around Zion even just a few times, hopefully you've noticed that baptism here is kind of a big deal for us. In fact, I would go as far as saying that I think that baptism just might be the most important event in our lives. To be baptized into Christ means to be joined with Jesus in his death and resurrection. And no matter how much water is used, whether in a baptism, whether it's a full immersion in a river or a lake, or even just a little bit of a sprinkling of water, we speak of baptism as a drowning, in a way, a drowning to sin and to all the dirt in our lives. And then a rising out of that water to new life, to a new kind of life. But today, as we celebrate Jesus' baptism, the thing that I have to ask is, what happens there in his baptism? I mean, it's not as if he is being, in his baptism, being joined to his own death and resurrection, or being joined to himself. In our baptism, we say we belong to Christ. But in Jesus' baptism, it's not like in that event, he now belongs to himself. That just seems silly. So what is the deal with Jesus' baptism? Well, John the Baptist, Jesus' cousin, is standing there at the edge of the wilderness in the Jordan River, and he's calling all the people out to repent, to turn their lives around. He's calling them to confess their sins and be baptized, be cleansed as a way of showing their commitment to this new kind of life, to live for God. Well, apparently something strikes a nerve with the people, because they come out in droves, we hear, to be baptized and to listen to John's announcement that the kingdom of heaven has drawn near. And as they step into the Jordan River and John baptizes them with this ritual washing, I can almost imagine the waters of the Jordan being dirtied with their full humanity. As if they step in the water and the dirt, almost as if from the bath of my childhood, the dirt just washes off them and floats around them there in the Jordan River. Their sin, their temptation, their brokenness, all that they bring along with them that is what they are, every way they fall short, what they wish they could be but struggle, all of their struggles are being washed from them, left there in the Jordan. And then comes Jesus. He's come along, he's come out there with all the other faithful to participate in the event that is announcing and preparing for his own ministry. And John stands there in the river and he is shocked that Jesus is there. He protests. "I need to be baptized by you," he says, "and do you come to me?" But Jesus insists. He says, "This has to happen to fulfill all righteousness." To fulfill all righteousness. What does that even mean? Well, Jesus has no need to repent. He has no need for sins to be washed away. He has no need to prepare himself for his own coming, to make his own path straight, because he is the very embodiment of God's kingdom dwelling here on earth. He is the embodiment of God's perfect love, of wholeness, of everything that we hope to be. And yet Jesus is baptized to fulfill all righteousness, meaning that as he steps into that water, the dirt and filth doesn't wash off and add to what has already been left behind by all those who came before him in baptism, or all those who come after him. Where the people had gone to the river to get clean, Jesus goes to the river to get dirty. Where we are baptized into Christ, Jesus is baptized into us. This is part of the scandal of the gospel. It doesn't make sense. We might bristle at the thought. But Jesus is baptized into our humanity. The stuff that we leave there in the water, our sin, our pain, our brokenness. And there he takes it all. The dirty water that we leave behind, even the ring around the tub. And this is only the beginning of his journey. Because from there, he's going to continue that journey that leads him to the cross and to the grave, where he buries all that dirt and then raises to new life. And he brings us along with him to shine the light into our lives, into the world. So we make a big deal of this here at Zion, because this is pretty important stuff. If you hear this good news for your life, that all that stuff that you bring with you, that you're not proud of, is washed off of you and taken upon Jesus. And if you remember that regularly, this is life-changing. Luther wrote that in baptism, "I have the promise that I shall be saved and have eternal life." Now, of course, that's not to say that those who have not been baptized haven't been saved, or don't have eternal life, or aren't children of God. God's gracious expanse is wide enough for all people. The God who created all people loves all people. And if you're not baptized, you certainly can talk to one of us as pastors or someone you know and trust to see if this is for you. But in the waters of baptism, we have this tangible reminder, which is why at the beginning of worship, we walk around and sprinkle water. I don't know how many of you saw there's a video online this weekend of an Orthodox priest who had, I don't know what kind of branches he had, but they were about this long, and he would dip them into this baptismal font that was about this deep, and he would bring them out of the water, and they would just shower the whole congregation. And this is a very somber Orthodox worship service. They're singing and chanting the liturgy. But as he's doing it, there is holy hilarity. People are laughing. People are dodging the water. And yet at the same time, they are remembering their baptism. They are remembering that they are marked with the cross of Jesus. They are remembering that in that water, they are being washed clean. And Jesus is taking all of that onto him. In the waters of baptism, we have that tangible promise. When you touch the water, you can remember this promise that you are washed clean. And it can never be taken away. A promise that's not just about one event that happened at one time, but a promise that is lasting throughout your entire life. A promise that when we don't live up to God's expectations or our expectations, that Jesus is baptized into our humanity. It's a promise that we all need, and a promise that we're invited to share with others. It's a promise that in the waters of baptism, all of our sins are left behind, and Jesus steps into that water to get dirty for us. So remember your baptism, both at your baptismal birthday, and if those forms that Pastor Sonia mentioned at the beginning of worship are helpful, use that. However you might celebrate your baptismal birthday, remember that. But also remember it every day. In the water, in the promise of God's word, remember. This is why it's important that Jesus was baptized. He wasn't baptized because he needed that cleansing. He wasn't baptized because he needed acceptance or because he needed his sins washed away. He was baptized, as the gospel says, to fulfill all righteousness. He was baptized so that we might follow him into those waters of baptism as we're baptized in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, that we would be made holy and right. Jesus steps into the Jordan River. And all that filth that's been washed off of others clings to him. He was baptized so that the words that he hears as he comes out of the waters, he hears those words, "You are my son, my beloved son. With you, I am well pleased." He was baptized so that we would hear those same words and that they would take hold in our lives, not just one day out of the year, but every day. That we would hear those words, "You are God's beloved child, and with you, God is well pleased." So remember your baptism. Remember that God loves you. Thanks be to God. Amen.